Love stories rarely follow the neat arcs we see in romantic comedies. In Nothing Like the Movies, we meet Wes Bennett and Liz Buxbaum, two people whose love story was derailed by tragedy and misunderstanding. 2 years after their painful breakup, Wes has returned to college life with renewed purpose. Once a promising UCLA baseball player with scouts eyeing him for the minor leagues, he had abandoned everything when his father suddenly died of an aneurysm. Now he's back as a 20-year-old freshman, determined to seize his second chance, including reconnecting with Liz, the girl whose heart he deliberately broke for what he believed were noble reasons. What Liz doesn't know is that their breakup wasn't what it seemed. Wes had ended things not because he stopped loving her, but because he believed setting her free was the only way to prevent her from sacrificing her dreams to support him through his family crisis. Have you ever wondered what would happen if the person who shattered your heart suddenly reappeared in your carefully reconstructed life? This is the question at the heart of this emotional journey through the complicated terrain of first love, heartbreak, and the messy reality of reconnection. Liz Buxbaum has finally found her footing after 2 years adrift. In her dream internship with acclaimed producer Lilith Grossman at Heft Entertainment, she feels on the precipice of everything finally happening. Working alongside Clark, her platonic soulmate, she's discovered an unexpected passion for sports filmmaking while pursuing her music supervisor ambitions. Her life centers around a luxury apartment shared with three roommates turned family: Campbell, a hard-drinking soccer player, Clark, a gentle giant rugby player who knits, and Leonardo, a wealthy Italian biology major whose parents own the apartment. At parties, Liz DJs from a raised platform that serves as both sanctuary and observation post, controlling the room's mood through music while remaining safely distant, watching without being vulnerable. Everything seems perfect until Wes Bennett returns, shattering her equilibrium. In panic, she claims Clark is her boyfriend, a spontaneous lie that creates a web of complications. Liz's fake relationship with Clark grows complicated when she's assigned to document the baseball team, putting her in close proximity to Wes all season. Though she discloses their history to her boss, Liz remains determined to stay professional, insisting she's no longer little Liz who can be derailed by her past. Wes battles jealousy over Liz's supposed relationship with Clark. His sister Sarah urges him to confess everything, but he decides to rebuild their friendship before attempting to win her back. As they navigate this dynamic, Liz and Wes find themselves drawn together despite efforts to maintain distance. Their shared history creates a magnetic pull neither can fully resist, even as they attempt to redefine their relationship. When Liz interviews Wes, tension surfaces. When she asks me to answer as if she doesn't know my story, I remind her she doesn't know all of it, Wes thinks. Their professional boundaries blur when Lilith sends Liz to Omaha to film Wes as he helps his mother sell the family house. In Omaha, Liz discovers Wes in the grip of a nightmare. "It's my fault," he confesses about his father's death. As she comforts him, the moment turns intimate. He pushes his fingers into her hair and kisses away her tears. Just before their lips meet, he pulls back. "Thank you, Lib," he whispers, giving her only the barest brush of a kiss despite their obvious longing. This almost kiss haunts them both. Later, Clark confronts Liz with a recorded interview revealing Wes's truth. He blamed himself after his father died of a heart attack following their argument. Afterward, 18-year-old Wes worked two jobs to support his family while his mother battled PTSD, sacrificing his education and baseball dreams. When Wes confesses he never cheated but broke up with Liz to set her free, she erupts not at his faithfulness but at his arrogance in deciding what was best for her. "Are you God? Are you my dad?" she demands, furious that he removed her agency. This unilateral decision about their future without consulting her feels almost worse than the original lie. Liz struggles with conflicting emotions, anger at his presumption, yet sympathy for his suffering. her father offers insightful advice. Who cares about your conflicted feelings? It's okay to be sad about him and pissed off at him at the same time. This wisdom frees her from endless emotional analysis. Meanwhile, Wes launches a determined campaign to win Liz back with elaborate romantic gestures. His first attempt, creating a candlelit heart on her balcony, ends disastrously when a neighbor mistakes him for a burglar, resulting in him being blasted by a pressure washer and falling into a rose bush. Undeterred, he warns her to brace herself for the hard press. He won't give up. At Nick's ski masquerade party, Liz and Wes find themselves alone on the roof, their chemistry undeniable despite their masks. When Wes asks if she would kiss him if they were strangers with no history, she whispers, "Probably yes." Though she reminds him that's not their reality, he suggests they pretend and kisses her when she doesn't pull away. Their passionate kiss is interrupted when he whispers, "You okay, Lib?" bringing her back to reality. Despite this turning point, Liz still hesitates to fully trust Wes. For their first date, he plans everything perfectly with City of Stars playing and La La Land restaurant reservations. When the borrowed car breaks down, they create an impromptu trunk top dinner with McDonald's, a CVS tablecloth, and blasting music while the valet glares. This makeshift date feels safer to Liz, almost like they're just two UCLA students rather than exes with complicated history. After another passionate encounter at McKinley Baseball Field, where they're caught trespassing by police, Liz pulls back from Wes due to trust issues. When confronted, Wes declares, "I will feel this way about you for the rest of my life. I exist to exist alongside of you." Despite his sincerity, Liz asks for space. Everything changes when Wes is struck by a line drive during baseball practice. At the hospital, thinking Wes is asleep, Liz confesses, "I love you. You are the only boy I've ever loved. I think I've loved you without stopping since you set me on the trunk of my car after prom and kissed me." "That's total bullshit," Wes says from the doorway, adding, "Well, come here first, because I'm gonna die if I don't touch you soon." 6 months later, at the College World Series Championship, Wes pitches with bases loaded. Seeing Liz wearing his jersey, he hears his dad's voice. "Just pitch, Bennett. You've got this, kid." And he does. This is what love teaches us. Meaningful relationships aren't about perfect meet-cutes, but about choosing each other repeatedly, even after seeing each other at their worst, a symphony of second chances.